What's up? I told you we're gonna have more stuff. Here's our first actual live podcast, and what we were just talking about. Like, it's been a while because that was the last one we did, right? The one that was when Butterscotch was on. We were just setting up there.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So this episode is going to be this. Welcome to Barely Living the Dream.
Yeah.
I'm here with Chris Warren. This episode is all going to be about catching up with Chris.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Well, because you and Brittany have been doing a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I've been doing stuff, I guess, but it's all been for like one movie or the other, right. You know. And I just here, but you guys have been going off and working a lot.
Yeah.
So I figured this would be a good opportunity to kind of talk about that and catch everybody up to 2024 and what's going on.
Yeah.
So take us back to, I guess, what was the last thing we talked about when we were...
I feel like the last thing we talked about was Two Sides.
Okay,
Two Sides. I feel like that was like the... I had just come back. We were still in COVID days.
Yeah. So this was 2020?
Roughly?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
Because we were in the house in October of 2020. So
yeah.
That podcast was probably December-ish.
Yeah. It was probably... that year. Because I think we had just moved into our place at that point. So... which was strange that all three of us got houses at the same exact, pretty much the same exact time.
Right.
It's been a whirlwind. So 2020, hold on, I'm going to, so Candyland really was kind of, I think, the next thing that I went and did after, which was in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
That was wild, but it was fun.
Yeah. I remember you doing that. Now that you say Montana, I just didn't know what it was called.
Yeah. John Swab was the director. I worked with Thanos's daughter.
Okay.
So that was kind of fun.
So are you talking Gamora?
No. Like the actual character.
You gotta be specific.
Yeah, the actual character.
So Josh Brolin's daughter.
Daughter. Okay. Yeah. She was in it. And then there was a couple other names. Billy Baldwin.
Okay.
He was one of the leads. He was the sheriff. That movie is out and is really good. I mean, I really enjoyed working on it. John was amazing. Jeremy Rosen was the producer, did a fantastic job. I mean, it was crazy, but it was fun, and it was, like, nice. It was kind of weird to be in Montana and shooting because I was like, this... Montana, like of all places, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never would think. Now, granted, you know, Yellowstone and all that is going, but I never thought I'd be shooting an indie film in Montana,
right,
of all places.
And what was your connection to that? What brought you onto that one?
So Nicole Flores, actually, you introduced me to Nicole. Because of Itsy Bitsy.
Yes, right.
And because, I can't remember why you didn't first AD Itsy. I think you were on another job.
Something like that. It was because they did want me and then I gave them you.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what, but it was something like that.
Yeah, because you came out in second for me on like a leg of it.
Yeah, like that week when just pickups and stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, so Nicole was the lead for that, and that's how I got in. And it was, I mean, like I said, it was crazy, but it was fun. Shooting like a weird indie horror film that was like, and it wasn't like, you know, it's not like a scary like pop scare kind of movie. It's like,
right,
it's more of a thriller, but it's really good. I enjoyed working on it, and it looks like, I mean, it's, I think it's got 5 stars on IMDb, which, not 5 stars, it's like 5.3 stars.
That's usually what stuff just sets around.
Yeah,
like it's all, you know, exactly. You know, if you're in that zone, you're probably fine.
You're probably fine. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's at least doing something.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, I went and did a movie called, well, it was called Hotline, but it's now called Wake Up.
Okay.
It was a faith-based film, but it was all about sex trafficking, and that one was really cool. It was fun to work with, but of course during COVID, that was actually my first foray into COVID. That was
fun. That the one that shut down multiple times?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, no, that wasn't the one that shut down. It shut down once because I got COVID, like half the crew got COVID, and so it was one of those things where it was like, oh, okay, well, we have to shut down. They sent us all home. Yeah, of course, I'm driving home, and I'm one of the, for COVID, I'm one of the ones that's like, I don't feel shit, luckily, I guess. But I'm driving home, and I get my test results, like, oh, you're positive. I'm like, oh, that's fucking great.
So yeah.
Called JC, was like, hey, I don't know if you want to stay in the house, but JC's my wife, just so everybody's aware. I was like, hey, don't know if I she wanted to stay home or not, but I have COVID. And she was like, no, I'm leaving. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Got to stay at home for a week by myself.
That was when the movie was done, or they stopped?
No, it was like we had gotten a week shot. And it was a 3-week shoot.
Okay.
I actually ended up not going back,
mm-hmm.
Even though I could have. They wanted me to. Joth Riggs, actually, another AD, took over for me.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool guy.
Oh, yeah. He's on that AD podcast that Brandon does.
Yeah.
He's on there a lot.
Yeah, he's on that, but also, I mean, he's just a cool guy.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked, because we circle. Like, it's weird.
The AD world's kind of small because it's a certain kind of person. There's not a whole lot of them that can really stick in it and do it a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was fine, and they finished the movie, and I saw a cut of it. It looks great. It's got like eight. It actually has like 8 stars on IMDb, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
And that one's called what was it called again?
Wake Up.
Wake Up.
Yeah.
Okay.
No real big names in it either.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's faith-based.
So right. That's the...
Faith-based tends to, that's such a certain crowd that, like, people love it. And not just faith, but, like, what they're talking about in the... I got on and really engaged into it because of what they were supporting and what her mission is mm-hmm. to, like, support getting rid of sex trafficking and all that. So...
Yeah.
Really good script. Met a lot of really cool people on that, too. So...
Okay. While you're looking, you said Itsy Bitsy, and it reminded me of something to bring up.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer for that movie Sting that's coming out?
No.
It's a spider horror movie. They just started showing trailers.
Uh-uh.
Just look at it. It reminds me a lot of Itsy Bitsy, the way they did stuff.
Okay.
No shade.
Yeah.
It's just weird that it's... Because, there hadn't been a lot of those spidery movies.
Right.
That aren't insane, like Eight-Legged Freaks or whatever, where they go like way over the top.
Right.
But I saw it at first. I thought it was a trailer for Itsy Bitsy, and they had retitled it or something.
God.
But I mean, it's shot. It's in a house, like it's. I think it's part of an old, like it was like a mythological thing.
Yeah,
like
mythological. It was a creature.
Yeah. So anyway,
okay,
look that up. But yeah, it made me think of Itsy Bitsy recently.
Okay.
All right. So what was after the faith-based film?
God, I guess the next. I mean, there was a lot of projects. Nothing that's come out yet that I probably can't necessarily because it's not listed that I probably shouldn't talk too much about.
But, right.
There was a lot of stuff, and then in 21 leading into 22, we did Imperatus, which was a really cool movie that I actually got to... We shot on location at Pennhurst.
Okay.
So, which was really cool. It was cool to be in there and like kind of, all the ghost stories and everything they talk about, right?
And that's the mental hospital in Pennsylvania. Right,
yeah. Okay. So it was really cool to be there and shoot. I mean... Albeit dangerous as shit, because there were places like they were like, you cannot, if it says do not, it means do not, like, because there's like asbestos, lead, all kinds of shit going on, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had everybody wearing masks, not even about COVID. It was like, hey, we're in a basement, we're in this building, it's old as shit, it's mold, it's like, you have to wear a mask, like, it's not a question, you know what I mean? Granted, I didn't say have to. It's recommended.
But yeah.
Whatever. People are going to do what they do. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of Tom Sizemore's last films.
Okay.
Really cool. Really, really great script. It's actually out as well.
And it's still called that, right?
Still called Imperator. It actually was one of the ones that actually held its title, which I was really impressed with.
Okay.
It's in that 4-5-star range.
Yeah.
It's really... I enjoy it. I haven't even watched the actual final cut, but the cut that I saw, I was like, this is good. It's a slow burn, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Michael Yurenko, really great director.
Okay.
Really great to work with. Knew his shit, was prepared.
Yeah.
Wasn't, just coming in and shooting for the edit, or just shoot to figure it out in the edit, I should say. He was actually shooting for the edit. He knew what he wanted.
Right.
And he knew what he was going to do in certain pieces.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference.
It really does. So that was a lot of fun shooting that. And also got to work with Robert Miano again, which I worked with him on Starfucker and a couple other films.
Okay.
Can we say that on YouTube?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We're far enough. And okay. Yeah, right now it doesn't
matter. I don't know if we need to bleep it out.
Yeah, yeah. Later down the line, maybe. Yeah, subscribe.
Yeah.
make it a problem for me.
Yeah. And then Lou Temple.
Oh, also, right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Lou's really good. Yeah. Great to work with. Fantastic guy.
Yeah.
We talk a lot. He was in another movie that I just recently did in L.A., and that was really good. I can't really say the name or what it is, but it was really fun and really cool to see him again and see him working.
Yeah.
With all the strikes and everything else that's been going on lately. But yeah, that was an interesting one because that was also, we shot through Christmas.
Oh, so yeah. I vaguely remember that.
So I was in Pennsylvania basically, I think even... Did I come home? No, we were still shooting during New Year's, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was nuts. Like, we shot pretty much the entire time. It was cool, and it was fun to work on. Let me backtrack.
Okay.
I am missing a movie that I should be talking about. It's not out yet, but I hear that it's supposed to be coming soon. Seven Cemeteries.
Okay.
I did that in Oklahoma with my boy Randy Wayne. I know he's probably not. Room Temp Randy. Old Rando. Anyway, did that, and that was 21, I believe.
Yeah.
Had Danny Trejo in it.
Mm.
Really cool. Fucking Danny's amazing.
Yeah.
Could not have asked for a better lead actor to work with. Truthfully, just down to earth and like, yeah, man, I'm here to work. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
There was one time, just quick story about that, speaking to him, being humble and really, really enjoying his craft. there was one time where we were setting up a car rig, and it was taking longer than expected, and Danny had been on set for like an hour and a half, and I was like, oh, man. Because for those of you that don't know, sometimes actors get a little stir-crazy when they sit in their trailer. So basically, I was like, okay, I'm going to go back there and talk to him, because my second was just whatever. Anyway, so went back there, knocked on his door. He opens. He goes, come in. Came in. What's up, boss? I was like, hey, just letting you know, like, we're just dealing with a car rig. It's just taking a little more time than expected. Sorry that you're waiting. He was like, I'm here. It's no big deal. Just let me know when you're ready. Cool. All right. No worries. And he's on the phone chatting, just having a good time. He's in his trailer, you know, so it's like, okay. But he gets it, you know. He gets that he's just paid to sit there and wait. When we're ready, we're ready.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Name of the game.
That one was a little stressful with Danny being the lead. However, he is great that we had to have him out in 10 hours. Like, there was no overtime for Danny. Like, Danny did not and doesn't work overtime. Like, he does not. It's just not his thing. So you have to have him out in 10 hours. That's part of his contract.
Yeah, understandable too. I mean,
he's older.
Yeah, he's an older guy.
And he takes really good care of himself. But
yeah,
you know, he's still, like, I have to get my rest. I have to be able to.
I'm not that old, and I'm like, get me done
tonight. I
don't want to.
We all want that.
Yeah,
you know. So that was really cool and really fun experience getting to work with him and seeing what he was like and you know. So there was that, and that was a really, really fun experience. And just getting to... This was also right... Okay, so funny. This was right before Rust. So this was right before everything went down with Rust. So
yeah, because you had the same, like, armor or something?
No.
Or how did you know? You knew somebody...
So the line producer, a line producer that I've worked with, can't say his name, but a line producer that I've worked with, he literally had worked with her... not on Rust, but on a movie right before Rust.
Okay.
And everything was fine. They had no issues. He was like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So I can't say his name, but yeah, that's the
connection. I just remember you kind of knew somebody that knew somebody had done the set.
And knew the armorer from Rust.
Right.
So, like, the craziest part is, you know, the week before Rust happens, we have Danny. Now, granted, our armorer was... fucking amazing. Matt Moulton, Oklahoma. Check him out.
He's
fantastic. And kept us all safe. And was very, very strict on his rules. But we literally had Danny firing an AK. Like, blank AK. Like, he's just firing it, you know? And then the next week, I get home. We wrap, I get home. Rust happens. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, we just had Danny firing a fully auto weapon, like, on set. And I immediately text Matt. I was like, thank you for everything you do. You're amazing, you know? And he is. He truthfully is.
Yeah.
Had him on another movie that I'll talk about here in a minute, but that he did the same thing and just truthfully talented at his position and what he does, and full respect for that. But that was crazy, like coming home and going, you know, it's just one of those where in your brain you're like, how did that happen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you even, because I know my checks being AD and the safety side of it, I know my checks that I do with the armor. I'm like, how does that even transpire? You know what I mean? Like, and then to find out later that, like, it was the AD that actually put... It just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. That he literally yelled cold weapon on set. And he hadn't even checked it. The armor hadn't even checked it. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
How do you do that? Especially for a rehearsal. You know what I mean? Like, of all things, like, he doesn't have to have a gun for a rehearsal. He can...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, anyway, not to go deep into that, but that was just a weird experience.
Yeah.
Next was Sunlight, which was a movie I did with, and the first time I met all the guys in Michigan. I did it a lot last year and the year before. Once they met me, they were like, and a man by the name of Dylan Sides, a really good guy, really enjoys my work and enjoys what I do, because not just from an AD perspective, but also from the lighting perspective and all my experience.
Yeah. So that was the first one where you sort of slid into doing other things.
Sunlight, I was AD.
Yeah.
So, but then after that, every time he's called me, I may not be ADing. I might be gaffing.
Yeah. Well, so, how did he know that you were?
We talked.
Yeah. He just kind of talked to you about
it. We talked, and like, I was just talking the lingo, you know. It wasn't even like, I didn't even really get to do, like, I mean, I moved some lights because on an indie film, it's just what happens. And the gaffer, normally I build a good rapport with the gaffer, and he's like, it's fine. Move it. Because he's busy, and we only have like two other guys. They're all busy. I can do whatever needs to be done.
You know?
Not that I like doing that while I'm aiding. Let me clarify.
Right.
But if it need be, I will. But so basically I meet them on Sunlight, which Mark brought me on. Mark David, DP that we've worked with.
And he was the DP on that.
And he brought me on for that. Then I met those guys, which was really cool. They're all a great bunch of guys, hard workers. I mean, Michigan needs to get its incentive back. Like, they've got some really great talent out there, and it's just sad that that's not happening. You know what I mean? That movies aren't being made there. And I know they're working on it. Everything I've heard and what they all keep me updated on. So right now they're doing nothing. Like, not there's anything wrong with Tubi movies, but that's what they're doing. It's all Tubi movies and stuff like that. They're not really getting anything big because the incentives aren't there.
Right.
So they're working on it, as far as I know. But
now might be a good time to say you can find both of our movies on Tubi.
That's correct. That is correct.
Mystery Spot and Dark Ritual.
Dark Ritual. Yep. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Especially if you've watched the BTS, that's also on this YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which you should go watch.
Yeah, I'm going to link it right here.
Ding! that was a really fun experience. So the last big budget feature, when I say big budget, I mean it was independent, but it was the last independent feature that Tom Sizemore did.
Is Sunlight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you worked with him twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we brought him in for that. Bobby Lanin, who was the lead actor in that, fantastic guy, also stunt coordinator, very talented, great guy. Love working with him. Like I said, when I went into Michigan, I was, because you know how it is, like you go to smaller cities and stuff like that, and it's like, is there really going to be experience? Do these guys really know what they're doing? Like, what are we getting? What are we walking ourselves into?
And right.
No, like, I was thoroughly impressed. Like, they are really a talented bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And talented.
Like team. A functioning crew like that knew what to do.
And, yeah, like an actual functioning crew that understood what it was to make a film. Like, it wasn't like walking into some of the other situations that you and I have even walked into where we're like, huh? Like, how did this guy get this job? Like, it makes no sense. They don't have the experience, nor should they even be touching the shit that they're touching.
Right.
So there was that. Undefiled, which actually just premiered. That's another faith-based film that was also about sex trafficking, but it's also in... It's based in the baseball world in like minor leagues, because apparently that happens a lot in minor league. No, I'm not calling out the minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Let me just
this
be
is
clear.
Just what the movie's this about.
This is what the movie's about.
Yeah.
Just saying what they're saying. But yeah, so apparently that happens quite a bit from what I understand, at least from what the director explained to me. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So that was another one. It just came out, premiered, hasn't come out like officially on streaming, but it is going to, I think, in like the next week or so. It just won Best Picture. I can't remember the film festival, but at a festival it won Best Picture, which is really cool.
Yeah.
That was another one of those situations where I went to Missouri of all places, right?
Okay.
And I'm thinking, okay, I'm walking into Missouri, what is this gonna be, right? And the first, not the director, but the first UPM that I dealt with was very inexperienced and had me very worried. Like, as I was going to the set, I'm like, oh God, what am I walking into?
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, normally if you get that vibe, it's going to be like that all the way down.
Yeah. Right?
Get there. They fire this UPM, right? There's a whole long story to that.
Yeah, I remember this one now, yeah.
They fire her. I get there. They have a new one. She's very talented. And then I meet Adrian Petrosian, Adrian Proleko, Noah Kiernan, all these guys from St. Louis that are amazingly talented and like are top notch, would hire in a heartbeat.
Crew people.
Well, DP, Gaffer, Key Grip,
okay.
Those kind of guys. Yeah. Caleb Wieland, another one to mention. Just love working with those guys. I've worked with them on several things now because they really enjoyed me as an AD, and they were like, dude, any job we get, we're calling you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's how you start building those relationships. Yeah,
exactly. And these are younger guys too, which is the crazier part of it is like when I first met them, I'm like, wow, these guys are young, but they're solid. They're talented. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They didn't just watch YouTube to figure out how to do things. Like, they actually grew up in the industry and know what they're doing. Like,
cool.
It's really, really cool. So there was that. So, and then basically last year was a lot of TV movies, because of the strike and because of union, just not being able to hire union actors.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of TV movies that I've worked on. Really, really cool stuff, you know, for what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tubi is an interesting market. The way it works, the way they make movies, it's cool for the talented guys. You know what I mean? Because we have to go in and figure out how to do this at this lower level. But at the same time, it's also got its own stress and everything else that comes behind it.
Yeah.
Especially when they're trying to make a horror film.
Yeah.
Which I've done two of them now, and holy crap. Like, it's like, how do you, like, you know what I mean? Like, you have no budget. Like, you're literally just, you're, you know, oh, I found this fake finger online. Let me color it and put blood, whatever, make it work, you know? Kind of going back to, like, the old, I mean, really what that reminded me of, like, the two that I've done, it reminded me of, like, the old 80s B-movies, you know what I mean? And, like... Like the shit that you would watch on UPN at like Channel 20 in Houston, for people that don't know what UPN is. You know, you'd watch that on what, Saturday? Was it Saturday? Like noon? They'd have like the bad B movies going.
Yeah.
It was that kind of, it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Not in a bad, like, it's good, but not in a bad, you know, like I meant that in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, and I say bad B movie, I mean, it's just cheese, you know, but it's fun to watch. So that was cool. And, you know, like I said, with the strikes and everything, that was kind of, it was a bummer because we didn't get to do as many union jobs as I was hoping to do.
Right.
But strangely enough, right, basically right before SAG signed their deals and everything was good to go. I ended up jumping on another movie with Rando Wayne in Oklahoma that had Ron Perlman in it and a bunch of the cast from Yellowstone. It was a Western.
Yeah.
Really, really good movie. Really fun to work on, called Cottonmouth.
Yeah. Isai Morales was in
Isai
that.
Morales.
Yeah, yeah. Because I had just seen Mission Impossible, when you were doing that. Yeah.
So, and that's the latest thing. So that pretty much takes us. I mean, I'm probably missing at least 10 projects that I've done.
Yeah.
But it's like,
those are the ones that kind of stand out.
Yeah. And some that I can't really talk about, you know, because
they haven't made official announcements. Yeah. Okay.
There was one called Semblance of Mist, which was another one we did in Michigan.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Really cool little movie. No big names or anything, but got to work with Dylan as DP. That was really cool and it was fun. And I've worked with Dylan as DP on a couple of things and he's really talented.
So, yeah.
I give that guy a lot of love for what he does, you know? It's been a wild, 4 years?
Four-ish. Yeah.
Or coming up on four.
Coming, yeah.
It's been busy and crazy, and we've dealt with pandemic, strike, and now possibly another strike coming up. So
yeah,
from IATSE. So
yeah,
it's a wild world we're living in right now, folks. but hopefully, it looks like it doesn't look like I have a job right now that's coming up in March, and then another one that probably will lead me into April. So, but other than that, it's been kind of, I've just been sitting at the house.
Yeah.
Kind of enjoying the time, but also not.
Yeah. Weird. You've been doing breakdowns here and there, right?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of breakdowns.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people, actually, funny enough, there's an email from probably a producer about the breakdown.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of breakdowns and just prepping basically for stuff, but nothing official.
You know? Yeah.
Other than this one in March and then this other one in April, which is cool. I mean, I'm happy that at least there's something coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
Where's the
March and April?
March will be in Kentucky. Cause they, well, I won't say they just, they've had their rebate, going for a little bit and it's making waves. There's a lot of people going to Kentucky, strangely.
Yeah.
To go make movies because they just have a really good rebate going right now.
Yeah.
And then the other one in April will be in Missouri. So that'll be cool. Missouri will be, it's like a 2-week job. So, but it's like a series kind of thing. They're trying to get off the ground. They're trying to get it off the ground, but also make into, like, it's 3 episodes that then lead into a big feature, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And it's this own. It's not Marvel, or it's this guy's own like comic universe essentially that he's built, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Give it to him on that. So
on those and on the 2 that are coming up, you're ADing?
I'm ADing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That is primary job.
How often do you find yourself doing like gaffer or something else?
Strangely, these past 2 years it's been more often.
Yeah.
It wasn't for a while. Like a while I was just AD, but and it's not that times got tough. It was just one of those, that's what they called for. So I was like, yeah, I'll go do that. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time. It was nice to shake the rust off.
Yeah.
And actually get to do it again. Oh, one I forgot about, Grams.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, Lonely how can we forget that?
Yeah,
Lonely and Man. He just, yeah, you talk about it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been announced. So worked with Ken Whiting on that one.
Yeah.
Great, amazing guy. Ken shot Mystery Spot. Ken's just an amazing guy. Truthfully love working with him. Happy where he's at. He's doing really good stuff. So, and he's got a movie himself that's coming out, but I have no affiliation with that, unfortunately. But
yeah.
Very proud of him
for
what he's doing. And super proud and excited to see what Lonely Man looks like. Because I was kind of like this weird, like, Grant, this is like an 8-day shoot. So
Talk about the logistics of it, I guess.
So it was an 8-day shoot. That basically, I don't know, basically it was an 8-day shoot that Graham got a limited amount of budget for.
Yeah, and this is Graham Skipper, who was in Mystery Spot. He's been a ton of other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Friend of ours, I've worked with him a bunch.
Amazing guy. So we got a limited budget, and so he called Ken. Ken called me, he goes, hey, you have a bunch of lights and stuff, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, you want to come gaff for me? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Let me knock that rut. You know, that was actually the first time in a long time that I had gaffed. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll knock the rust off. Why not?
Yeah.
And it's Ken. I mean, I love Ken and love working for him and with him.
Yeah.
But then it turned into like, it was a weird kind of amalgamation of like, okay, I'm first ADing, but also gaffing.
Right, of course. Because, I mean, there's like four of you.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Cyrus,
it was four. It was a four-man crew.
Yeah.
It was Cyrus doing sound.
Yeah.
Graham was producing / lead acting.
Yeah.
Ken was shooting and lighting, and I was lighting and AD. So yeah. It was kind of like, you know, it was just a cool little fun, fast indie.
Yeah.
Got to hang out with Graham more, which was great.
Yeah.
Got to hang out with Ken, you know, which was also great. But yeah, it was fun, and I'm excited to see how it turned out. Got a cool little crew. Well, I'm not going to give too much, but it's got a cool thing in it.
Yeah.
it is in the trailer, but there is a cool thing that I was really excited that we made it work and how we made it work for such a limited budget that we had.
Cool. And you guys shot that here. Well, it was in Bastrop, right?
It was in Bastrop. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember I came and visited you guys.
Yeah. That's why I was like, wait a minute, there is one I'm forgetting, and that was it.
Yeah.
Graham, not that I forget about you. You're amazing.
There's just a lot going on.
Yeah. A lot of moving pieces.
It all blurs together.
Exactly.
And do you remember the details on when that's premiering? I know he just posted it.
Seattle Make-Believe Festival in March. It's actually in March.
Okay, cool. So that's coming out soon. So look out for that.
Which I know he wanted us all to come, which I'm hoping I can figure out how to make that work. But,
yeah.
You know, we'll see.
It's tough.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It's hard out there for a pimp sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, so there was that. And then, I mean, obviously we did your movie. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but that was all finished before we did the... No, I guess it wasn't. We hadn't even started.
No.
God, see, it just all falls through the cracks. But yeah, we did In Betweening, which is another... It's kind of the same situation. It's a three-person crew. Yeah.
Me, Brittany, and you.
Yeah. Shot the bulk of it, and then I've... Continued to shoot little, I continued to shoot little things as you guys were working. I'm trying to think of when we shot. I mean, yeah, the last stuff was probably just a few months ago when we did the birthday party stuff.
Yeah, it was a month or two. Yeah,
yeah. Because I brought the train back.
Yeah, because I remember.
Because I was sick. Because I remember I was feeling it running back and forth because the train was over there. But yeah, that's in post. I'm going to go do the final mix in the next few weeks at some point. Just waiting on the final animation. So, pretty close.
Yeah.
I have a couple of ideas of where I want to screen it, so we'll see if those come to fruition. But it will see the light of day this year at some point.
It's another one that I'm excited to see because I have yet to see anything other than what you as people who have seen anything or In-Betweening have seen.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with them. Greg is pretty stoked about some of the sound mix stuff that he's done.
Did he make it weird?
Yeah, of course.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It's what he was getting most excited about.
Nice.
Yeah. He's like, I can do all kinds of crazy stuff with this. So yeah, there'll be a trailer out relatively soon, I would imagine. I'm just waiting for the last, like I said, the last bit of animation so I can have some of the final stuff in there.
Nice.
Yep. Okay. So that's happening.
Okay.
And so what's next? You have those two gigs coming up.
I am currently trying to direct my next feature.
Yeah.
Right now we have half the budget promised. We're currently working on getting investors.
Yeah.
So there's that. It looks like hopefully before the end of the year, I have it shot at least. That's what we're going for. Cool little dark, very dark horror comedy.
Yeah.
That I think it'll make waves. I think it'll do something. I hope. We've been talking to several talent. I can't say anything, obviously. But named talent that are, one of them is interested and ready to give a letter of intent. For those of you that don't know, letter of intent normally means they're going to do the movie. And that's how you get your financing from that. Some of it. At least
you can.
So there's that, and then I'm waiting to hear back. But another thing that I kind of weirdly knocked rust off was, and I mean, you know, I've cam opt, and I mean, they the audience doesn't, but I've been a little bit of everything. But like, I've done cam op, I've done DP work, I've done stuff like that, and then And this movie came around in Michigan. It's another horror film. And the guy was like, you want to DP it? And I was like, sure, why not? So hopefully they can get all the funding together and I can actually finish that one up. We've done some stuff. It's called Mara Road. I can speak about that.
Yeah.
It's called Mara Road. You should definitely check it out. It's also on... There's a bunch of trailers on YouTube. It's got a Facebook page. I think it's called Mara Road the Movie on Facebook. But check it out, because he is doing an old grassroots campaign of you know, not Indiegogo, but he's trying to do that whole financing through that. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting, and it looks like it's working. And he already has, from what I understand, he already has a distribution deal. So cool. Now we're just trying to get the finishing funds so we can actually shoot it.
Yeah,
we shot 3 days. It was last year, right before it got cold in Michigan. So
you guys shot a little bit for like a trailer,
teaser stuff. Yeah. So he's cut like 3 trailers out of it. So
cool.
And the last one looks. I mean, it looks great. I was actually really excited to see that and see where it's gonna go.
Cool.
See where we take it from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the movie that you're trying to do, is that the one you wrote with Ken?
No. Okay. So Ken and I have one that. We aren't done yet. We have the outline, but we're trying to finish it. This one was actually born of another movie, weirdly enough.
Yeah, that happened with In Between and Mystery Spot, so it happens.
Well, so, but it wasn't born of my other, like yours was born of your own. Got it. This was born of kind of revenge, kind of.
Okay.
This producer not being happy with this other person and being
Okay, you've told me about that. Yeah. Yes, okay, got it.
So that's where this script was born of. Like, yeah. I was basically given this script and said, hey, we want to keep these certain pieces, but write a story around that.
Yeah.
Well, I just went a little overboard and I wrote an entire new story.
Yeah.
With those pieces in it, but knowing that those pieces could come out and it wouldn't hurt the movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened. They read the script, the producer and them. They were like, yeah, this script is way better than what this other director gave us. He's like, I don't even care. Like, we're just going to reshoot this whole thing. And I'm like, sweet. So that's what we're doing, or trying to. You know?
Yeah.
Like I said, we have half of it promised. We're just working on the other half. So if we have to go SAG, at least we can do that. We're still going to be we're not going to be a full union job. Like, we're still going to be an independent film. So, but yeah, I'm excited to get it done. Get the next one in the can.
Yeah. And that one you said is they're still fundraising for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Trying to get the rest.
We're just trying to get to investors that have the rest of the money. So if any of your investors are interested, let me know.
The eternal struggle.
The eternal struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But that's that's up to now. We're caught up.
Caught up.
Yeah. There's not much. I mean, other than those Tubi films and a couple other things that we did.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the next thing is just in-betweening, which that's what I've been working on in the background this whole time.
Yeah.
Pretty much. At the beginning of that period, I guess, was still like wrapping up Mystery Spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was just, from that into in-betweening. But it's all, fortunately, minus the little pickup shoots we had to do for in-betweening. And one Mystery Spot one that I did in my backyard.
Yeah.
It's all been just editing stuff.
Right.
I say fortunately, that led to other problems.
Yeah.
Of me inhaling gas through that window right there.
Yeah, good God.
But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's a... the hell.
But, so it's just been a lot of post-production stuff, which is why I haven't really recorded anything, because it just didn't...
There hasn't been anything.
Nothing exciting, I did some edits. Cut out like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I mean, some people might be into that. What I should have done is documented the process more because there was a lot of interesting stuff that happened.
Mm.
Also with Mystery Spot.
Yeah.
But you never do it in the moment, you know, and it's like, it's just extra energy that you don't want to expend. But, you know, it's...
Next one.
The next, yeah. Yeah, gotta, that's what I'm trying to do it more now. Yeah. But we'll see what happens.
I mean, for the viewers that if they haven't seen anything right in between, you could throw up that link right here for that thing that you did.
I could.
Just saying, they could at least see something.
The Zoom?
The Zoom.
Oh, yeah. It has the trailer in it.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't put it out quite yet.
Ah.
Yeah, because I don't want to just strip it out.
Yeah.
I'm just, yeah. But it's coming. So the link won't be... erase that. The link won't be there yet. But it will eventually be once I do the trailer.
Yeah.
But that's the only... And that's really the only reason.
Yeah.
Because it does have... You know, it does have a lot of cool information. And I actually... This week is... I'm finally getting the final disbursement from the grants.
Okay.
That funded it all.
Nice.
So it will... You know, I'll be able to pay Greg and pay Nick. And that kind of caps it off pretty much.
Yeah.
There'll still be a little bit of work we're doing after. But it is sort of the bookend to the whole process. Mm-hmm. So it is coming to a close. I can't wait. I'm excited. If nothing else, just to get it out.
Yeah, you know? there's some interesting stuff that I know we shot that I can't wait to see how people react and respond to.
Yeah, same here. And it's almost like... It's not almost like. It's totally like this. Like, I don't even really care what the... that it's out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay, you're gonna either like this or hate it.
Yeah, and I don't care.
But it's fine.
Yeah.
It's out of me, yeah. And it's in the world. Because I know that it's gonna be one of those. People are just not gonna get it.
Yeah.
Or they're totally gonna get it.
You know?
Weird, because like, the stuff that Greg, as he's mixing it, the stuff that he's plugging into... Mm-hmm. He's like, oh my God, this conversation here. Like, I'm like, I never would have thought.
Right.
Even though he's in the industry and he mixed, you know, if you look at his IMDb, he's mixed 220 movies or whatever. Yeah. But just certain things that just remind him of people he's worked with or conversations he's had or conversations he's been a part of. It's reassuring. And I'm like, okay, well, somebody will get something out of this.
Right.
Again, it's like Hollywood Shuffle. Like, that movie doesn't work for everybody necessarily. But if you... And it started to work even more for me the more I did movie stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
It all makes
so much sense. Yeah. So much more sense.
Yeah.
Not that I'm comparing myself to the great Robert Townsend.
But maybe.
But, you know, it's coming from the same place. And it's like it reminds me a lot of the, even though I didn't realize it at the time, just kind of the approach. Like, mine is not like as vignette-y as that. Mm-hmm. But there kind of is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, anyway, knowing that found its people, hopefully Inbetweening will too.
Yep.
We'll see.
I think it will.
If not, hey, man, I didn't lose any money. It's grant funded. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, that's the way to do it.
Yep.
And that's why I wouldn't be, and when people ask me, you just did it, when you, they're like, what's next? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe nothing.
Maybe.
Yep. Not for a while, because I just, so tired of all the other stuff, you know, and dealing with people and funding. Like, I'm glad that you guys are working on getting funding.
Yeah.
But you saying that makes my stomach hurt. Like, I don't even want to have to go through it one more time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
Well, and there's just, you know, it's the rigmarole. It's funding, budget, you know, figuring all that out, schedule.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of stuff you have to do.
Yeah.
But, you know...
I'm glad you're doing it, but... Yeah.
I get it.
Not for me anymore. Not right now, at least.
Well, and that's like kind of the crazy part for me too, is that I thought, I mean, like 3 months ago, I literally thought we were good to go, greenlit.
Yeah.
But something happened, and we went down to half, which I'm like, that's fine. Whatever.
Half is still better than none.
Half is still better than none, and that's a good start point to talk to any investor, because they're like, oh, somebody else has already invested in your film?
Yeah.
Oh, I might be interested now. Yes, please. Thank you. I'll take it. You know?
Yeah.
So, we're getting there. I think, you know, I have a feeling that we will get there before the end of the year. I think we'll get it done before the end of the year.
And if so, once you guys get funding, what are your thoughts on shooting it? Where are you shooting it? Or where would you plan on shooting it?
Right now, realistically, we're probably talking either Kentucky or Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the rebate.
Right.
And because of where it's at. It's just a really good rebate on both end. Both states are having really good refunds or rebates. At first I thought about Oklahoma, but their rebate is good, but it's very hard to get in.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where I'm like, I don't want to put all my eggs in that basket and then it doesn't happen. You know?
Right.
I'm not saying you shouldn't go to Oklahoma, because you should. Especially if you're trying to get that look, because Oklahoma does have a very specific look, and it's interesting.
Right.
But Yeah, it's just, and also it's just because it's a lower budget too, I don't think we'd get back as much as we would if we were in Kentucky or if we were in Missouri.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I'm going to go where we get the most bang for our buck.
Yeah, know? Makes sense.
Especially because we're going to have to, regardless, we're going to have to house people. So it's like,
yeah,
might as well, if we get the good rebate, then that pays for that rebate pays for the housing, which then goes back into our budget.
So. Right.
So there's those things, you know, it's all those fun things you have to think about nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What genre is it? You may have said already.
It's a dark horror comedy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right. You did say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Horror, dark comedy, however you want to say it.
Yeah. Comedy, dark comedy, horror, dark.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you twist it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm very excited to get it. I'm very, very excited to get it going. Everybody who has read the script has told me they really enjoy it because it's fresh in there. And this is what I've heard, is that it's fresh to see horror in this light again, and it's not like it's, you know, it's not like we're going back to the 90s and doing all kinds of stupid college humor and shit. It's not like that. It's just, it's actually like college, it's actually not college. It's actually humor, but dark, and like it's really good with the horror aspect of it. So,
yeah.
Which I'm very excited to hear that, because, you know, and not there's anything wrong with smart horror, you know, but that's where it all is right now.
Elevated.
No, sorry. Elevated horror.
Where they don't even, they almost don't want to say horror. They're like,
right. It's just it's a thriller.
It's a treatise on suspense and the human condition. Okay. Okay.
Just call it a fucking horror.
Jeez. Yeah. Don't make the thing and be afraid to call it the thing.
Exactly. Right.
And I don't mean the literal thing. Yeah. I just meant, you know, the lowercase thing, but you know what I'm saying.
Still.
Yeah. But yeah, I just,
if you're going to make a horror film, just make a horror film.
There are those movies that are good, but again, it's hard for me to watch any of that stuff just because of other reasons.
Right.
So I can't tell if I'm biased, but I'm all for it, you know, but then it becomes its own. Just like, you know, too much of anything.
Yeah.
You know, the dose makes the poison.
Exactly. Well, and that's where it's at, like, in my opinion. And I think several people that are in the horror community that I've talked to feel the same way. Like, elevated horror is great and all, but at the same time, it's like, it's just like Marvel. Like, okay, do a couple, but it doesn't have to be elevated.
I always think we always talk about the 80s and the 70s too, but like when you could go rent movies or go see horror movies and you could get all kinds of different shit.
Yeah.
And you don't, I feel like you don't really have, I mean, obviously you have a wider selection than you've ever had.
Right.
But the stuff that's sort of getting pushed to the forefront isn't as varied, doesn't seem as varied. It's kind of like all samey in its own way. And you can't really get that multicolored kind of palette that you could back then.
Right.
Where you could go rent three things from the horror section.
And they'd all be different.
It'd be wild and all good, but just like wildly different in tone and approach and whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel like you could get that now. But there's definitely nothing that's, I'm trying to think of the last thing that excited me. You know.
That was horror?
Yeah. It's been a while. I mean, we went and saw Boogeyman. Because Reagan wanted to see it. Yeah. That was the first horror movie she saw in the theater, actually.
Nice.
But she really wanted to see it. It was, and it's a Stephen King adaptation of a pretty good story that I really like. It's got, like, I remember reading it, you know, when I was a kid. And it was okay, but actually it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But then it, you know, it kind of falls in the same traps of, you know, the same stuff at the end, and did it better than most things I've seen. But again, I was just kind of, I almost forgot I'd seen the movie.
Right.
You know, it didn't really stay with, you know?
Right.
That's another thing where I'm like, even if I do push through it enough, or if Reagan's into something so much, she wants to see it and I dip my toe in, I'm still like, oh, why did I?
Yeah.
I kind of wasted my time. Not even that it was bad, but it was okay.
Okay. It was just okay.
Just okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've just been watching a lot. I mean, that's the reason I'm focusing on YouTube stuff now, is because I've been watching more of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, because I, you know, I've been spending my time just watching film criticism and stuff on YouTube pretty much.
Yeah.
There's a little channel called Accented Cinema. If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend you watch it. It's like my favorite right now. The dude is hilarious. And he's good. He does really good breakdowns of stuff. He does a lot of horror stuff.
Nice.
But it's horror, kung fu, gun fu. Like, mostly Asian stuff, but there's a lot of Indian, Bollywood stuff, too. Anyway.
Okay.
But I've been watching a lot of stuff like that, just because that's more, It's still like filmic.
Right.
But it doesn't have all the, like, I don't know. It just doesn't trigger me.
Yeah.
The stuff. So anyway, that's just, but it's my own hang up. You know, I'm sure I'll eventually get over it. But it even extends beyond horror. Like, I can't, it's really hard for me to sit down and watch anything narrative minus Marvel stuff, kind of, but even that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, because I just kind of, like, I'll eventually watch it, but I'm not so driven to go or whatever, you know, because I'm still a nerd and I still want to see it.
Right.
And I don't think I'm suffering fatigue, you know, or whatever, but I just, I'm like, I'll catch it eventually, you know, kind of stuff. That's where it's at now. And it may be a part of the product where it's like, I don't feel like I have to see it right.
Right.
Now. There's nothing really pushing me where I got to go see, oh God, what's the next part of the story?
Yeah. Well, like Echo, I really wanted to go see, like, I really wanted to sit down and I still have yet to do it.
Yeah. Same.
Cause I'm like
that and like Loki season two. Cause I love season one.
Yeah.
I mean, there are triggering things about that for me, which you probably know and figure out, but, I hate to keep saying that, but it's so true. Like, I was there. Remind me to tell you about something offline.
Got it.
I don't want to say, but I was enjoying watching something and I had to piece out of it immediately because something came up and I'm like, nope, can't do it anymore.
You're done.
Done. Yeah. Wow. And it's just because of stuff I've been through because of movies.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
But yeah, but just my viewing habits have totally changed. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last thing I like dedicated. It's been a lot of like YouTube stuff and then maybe documentaries if it's feature length. Mm-hmm. But I'm even running out of those.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, not really a lot of series stuff or movie. I'm trying to think of what the last movie we saw was. Reagan. My phone thought
Same.
Reagan's been picking a lot of them. Oh, Godzilla.
There you go.
Got to give that the big thumbs up. We saw, and that was me. I was like, because I saw people talking about it. They're like, Godzilla Minus One could be the best. And, you know, when people are always like, this is the best, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I'm always like, skeptical. But then I started to see the trailers and the shot of him behind the boat. And I'm like, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we went and saw it. Amazing.
Nice.
Like, one of the best theatrical experience. And it's a good movie beyond being a good Godzilla movie.
Okay.
Like it's a great film.
It's actually a good
movie. Yeah, and that's the problem is people will, you know, be reductive about it because it's Godzilla. A lot of people would.
Right.
But remember, the original is like a film classic.
I mean,
and this one gets... And it's in my top three, dude. It's so well done. The effects...
Yeah.
God, they're so good. Like some stuff, they put up a featurette on YouTube last week that Graham put up. And I was watching and I'm like, I didn't even realize that was an effect. Like I thought they shot a lot of this stuff practically.
Right.
But it's so seamlessly done. And they show you... how they had their team set up. It's just like 30 people, maybe it's like 80 people.
Yeah.
They had 6 months to work on it.
Okay.
And the director was just in there working with them the whole time.
That's cool.
And I mean, you can see it on screen, dude.
Wow.
But yeah, with that was the last thing to blow me away in the theater for sure. And like majorly to the point where I was like, okay, yeah, I'm still into movies like
that. Yeah.
You know, like it kind of reignited the love.
Yeah.
And we saw, Reagan wanted to see, God, what was the last Studio Ghibli? The Boy and the Heron.
Oh, yeah.
We saw that. That was really good. Nice. I think it was the week after Godzilla. So those two things. Again, you know, but it's foreign. You know, stuff that's not really tied to anything that's going on.
Right.
But if you haven't seen Godzilla Minus One, highly recommended.
I mean.
Even if you don't think you'll like it, force yourself.
Go see it.
Yeah, because everybody. Melanie had been a Godzilla fan, so she was into it. But she let Reagan was transfixed. Like. She was asking me questions about the characters after the movie. She's like, oh, when Katakawa did this. And I'm like, man, you really paid attention. Yeah, like, had her.
You were in it.
You know? So that's when I was, like, impressed. I'm like, it appealed to all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
It wasn't just...
Yeah, and the whole crowd was pretty varied when we went to see it, too. And everybody was super into it. Cheering, you know?
Nice.
There was a couple moments where, you know, it was a good experience. So, yeah, that was probably the last thing. Okay. And probably... So it sticks out so much because it was like the only time I really had a good time watching something, and not because what I was watching was bad. It's just because of whatever other stupid reason. You know?
Right.
But yeah, so that's been pretty much it for me. Just that and YouTube. So I'm trying to think if I'm leaving anything out, but I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it's been going.
I've basically just been going back and rewatching stuff. I mean, there hasn't
really been. I've done a little bit of that, especially if the channels the film criticism stuff I'm watching, mm-hmm. like talks about a movie that I think I'm familiar with, and then they'll bring up something I'm like, oh, I never saw.
Yeah.
I never looked at it like that, because this guy, the guy that, for example, since I'm watching so much of his stuff now, mm-hmm. the guy that does accented cinema mm-hmm. is Chinese, and then okay. He's from China, moved to Montreal, and so the way he speaks to a lot of Asian cinema, it's like somebody that like lived in it and understands it culturally, mm-hmm. much more than somebody like I would, somebody like myself would.
Right.
But there's stuff that he brings up, like he was talking. There's a whole video he has about Kung Fu Hustle, mm-hmm. and how one of the characters speaks Mandarin, mm-hmm. and it's like a lower like class thing.
Yeah.
And it's important of which of the other characters speak Mandarin to this character, because they kind of like treat her as an equal, which is something I never, thinking about it, I never got, because I'm just reading subtitles,
and
they don't put the nuance right. Like I don't get, oh, that means this.
That means something.
So I'm like, oh, I need to totally reevaluate watching that. Like you kind of get what's going on with her character from just like the other character arcs, mm-hmm. but that adds a whole other layer to it. So right. It brings out a lot of stuff that I never saw in the movie and however many viewings, you know.
Yeah.
So now I'm going back and I'm like, oh, well, let me look at this differently. Even if it's like the way they choreograph a Jackie Chan fight.
Right.
You know, and things, you know, how the storytelling's involved or whatever. And mm-hmm. So, that's kind of something that I've been doing, just rewatching things on that kind of basis. And then even then, it's not even a full rewatch.
Okay.
I'll go to that part.
Yeah,
and just watch it. Because it's just hard for me to dedicate. It's hard for me to really sit down and watch something for an hour and a half or 2 hours right now.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of a struggle too. But I'm getting slowly better at it. But it's been a challenge.
So the last thing I was in the theater and saw was Killers, and it was just Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay,
and it was just because a whole group was like, hey, we want to go see this. You want to come?
Oh, were you working on a movie at the time?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Well, I was working on a spot in Beaumont. So. Yeah. I went and saw Killers, which it's good, you know?
Yeah.
But it was one of those where I was like, oh, man, this is like 3 hours of my life. Like, right. It was brutal. Like, and don't get me wrong, and I'm still a big movie goer. Like, I want to go see, I want to be in the theater. But it was just rough. Like, not that it's a bad movie. It's just, you really, like, we had just finished a long day.
Yeah, you got to be like in the mood for it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know what? I saw Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But I watched it at home when it was available at home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I do, surprisingly, because my plan was I will break it up.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a long one, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But I did sit there and watch. I think it was all but the last 20 minutes. And then I was like, okay, I'm getting tired. And then I immediately the next day watched the rest. So I did see that. And then I went back and watched Tenet, which I had never seen.
Okay.
So, because I
haven't seen Tenet.
I do like Christopher Nolan. He's like one of my favorite directors. Yeah. But that was right. That came out right when I was like, okay, I can't watch movies.
Yeah.
Because they just,
yeah,
you know. And it's, again, universally.
Right.
I can't watch anything narrative. It's fucking me up.
Right.
For the most part. And so that was one of those things that fell by the wayside, but I did finally watch that. I really, really enjoyed it. And again, it was because I watched, it was some movie YouTuber that was analyzing certain things and not even really trying to explain it, just talking about how they, you know, how they approach the movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this really interests me, you know, and that's been on my I need to watch list, but I'm going to finally do it and watch
it.
And I, you know, I did enjoy it. So it's like, there'll be little moments like that where I will plug in and have a night where I'm like, oh, okay, I'm into this.
Yeah.
Was few and far between getting more regular, but we'll see.
Right.
We'll see.
Maybe that'll ignite that writing fire again.
Yeah, we'll see. I think there's going to have to be some money attached.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Because I can't put all that blood, sweat, and tears into something and see nothing from it again, you know, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, so. I understand it.
So.
Yep.
And that's why in-betweening is different. Because I control everything.
It's yours, yeah.
Yeah. So.
I get that.
Thank you, HAA Grant, for making it possible.
Great job.
Otherwise, I'd be losing my mind right now. That's how I know things are different.
Yeah.
Because at this point of the process, I'm not sick of the movie.
Right.
By this time on any other movie.
Yeah, you were done.
I was well done.
Right.
You know, people are like, oh, let's sit down and watch again. I don't want to. And you know, when we mix with Greg, we have to. You have to watch the movie through. And it's the, I hate it the most because I'm so over it and just tired and aggravated about everything. Yeah. Be right or wrong, you know, but I just can't. But now I'm like, oh, dude, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited about rewatching it and tweaking it and sitting down and mixing it. I'm looking forward to it. So I can tell that there's a difference.
There's a difference.
Yep. Huge difference. So. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, cool. I think we're caught up.
I think we're caught up.
Yeah. We'll try not to spend 4 years without doing another one.
Yeah. We'll try to make this a little more regular.
Yeah. So what we'll do next is I'll try to get Brittany in here and catch up on what she's been doing.
There you go.
And then I don't know if before or after this, but we'll put up the audio version of the commentary we did for In the Blood.
Okay.
Yep. AKA Dark Ritual.
Yeah.
Because you can watch the video version, but if that's like just proving a little difficult to queue up or whatever,
yeah,
we'll put it on the podcast feed too.
There you go.
Is there anything you want to pimp or promote before we wrap out?
Not right now.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
Not even your no IG handles?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you can find
in case people want to contact you for funding.
Funding, yeah, sure.
Let's say that.
Sure. It's Christopher Warren on Facebook. You'll find the Hannibal Lecter mask. That's me. Then there's CWAR54 on Insta. I do have a TikTok, but I don't check it. And I don't create TikTok videos.
Yeah. I have recently jumped onto that insane bandwagon because I have to have an account for work pretty much. I'm kind of dipping my toe in.
Yeah.
If you want to follow me on there, it's Upstart. Everything's Upstart Film. You can find me. But I'm just putting up, the trailers and stuff. There may be some stuff, shorter stuff that I put out that hasn't seen the light of day yet. Fun things.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
It just depends on how I feel.
Maybe make a 50-part series of Fade to Black.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
For the first movie to be entirely released on TikTok. Don't steal my idea. Yeah, we'll see. But again, there are things about that where
copyright.
I'm like, I would love to do it, but I'm like, I just can't.
That would be kind of grueling, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Because then you got to figure out exactly, like,
oof. It's tough, but
also the framing would be weird,
right?
Yeah,
clips from other things, maybe. Definitely gonna pull the placeholder stuff out and start putting it back up.
Okay.
But I don't know if I want to do the. You know, we made them longer for TV.
Yeah.
If I want to break them back up and do shorter, like the 12 and 14 minute versions or whatever, I may do that. We'll see. It's all coming. Just subscribe. Follow.
Just check it out.
You'll see it all. I'm trying to get it all out there. I'm trying to be more present with the content or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just because I hate just for it to just sit here on a drive and never see the light of day.
Yeah.
If you want to check out Dark Ritual, which is Chris's movie, that's on
Tubi,
Apple TV, Google Plus, Amazon, YouTube. You can rent it.
Yep.
There's always one I forget. Vudu. It's on Vudu. Vudu, which is the Walmart one.
Yeah.
The same with Mystery Spot, pretty much.
Yeah.
All the same things. Check them out if you haven't already. And we will see you next time.
Adios.